So Representative Price, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Obviously, the biggest news is the articles of impeachment that are being discussed in the House Judiciary Committee. And I want to start by just talking about, you know, what really impeachment entails, because it's something Americans haven't seen in a long time, and there's been so much swirling around the Trump administration. It might be fair to start just by asking, you know, what typically constitutes an impeachable offense?
Well, the words in the Constitution, high crimes and misdemeanors, you know, leave a lot to the judgment of the House of Representatives as we look at a president's conduct. I think by any measure you'd want to apply, though, the conduct of Donald Trump fits the definition of an abuse of power, a serious abuse of his office, a compromising of the integrity of our elections, a compromising of the integrity of our foreign policy, security policy with respect to a vulnerable ally, a gross abuse of power, and then a total refusal to cooperate with Congress in investigating that. So the two articles of impeachment, one has to do with the abuse of power itself, and the second has to do with essentially the cover-up and the refusal to cooperate.
Now, you tweeted your support of those two articles that the full House is likely going to be voting on sometime next week. Do you believe that those two charges are apt and appropriate for President Trump's actions?
I think the charges are very carefully and narrowly drawn, really. This is a president who has abused power and abused his office for ever since the first day, almost. And there are many things that could be discussed and could be dealt with, but the committee has chosen to focus on what appears to be the most egregious offense in terms of impeachable offenses. This attempt to extort Ukraine, this attempt to induce or to compel, really, given the dependence of Ukraine on this country, them to do his political bidding, to do dirty work for his coming political campaign on Joe Biden, and also to give credence to the Russian alternative theory about interference in the 2016 election, namely to investigate the obviously false allegation that it was Ukraine and not Russia that attempted to interfere in our elections.
Now, you said that these charges are very carefully and almost constrictively drawn. Do you think that from the evidence that there is about President Trump's interactions with the Ukrainian president, are there additional things that might have also qualified for articles of impeachment but the committee decided against?
Well, I think the evidence on the Ukraine matter is pretty comprehensive, and I think all of that will prove relevant. I mean, I think the president's intent, the corrupt intent in terms of harming his opponent and enhancing his own reelection, the situation where he was directly involved, indeed was engineering this, and so on. I think all that has been clearly established. Could we use more evidence? Of course. I mean, there are many people we really should hear from and would like to hear from, but I don't think the whole, after a certain point, we have very impressive testimony on the record from very impressive people, and I believe the case is very tight. And I don't think we can hold up further proceedings, hold them hostage to the president's refusal to cooperate. You know, the history books are probably going to show that this wasn't the first or the only time the president did this sort of thing, and it's going to tell us more about the mysterious Russia connection. I mean, there are lots of things that need to know about, and I guess we'll eventually know about. But I think we know enough right this minute to proceed with these articles of impeachment. And in fact, there's a certain urgency about doing so because the president at this moment is still encouraging foreign intervention, foreign interference in the elections to come, the 2020 elections, which are right upon us.
And you just mentioned this, and I know that it is hard since it is ongoing and the House hasn't had a full vote on articles yet, but can you speak to the magnitude and just scale of what this means in terms of history? I mean, we've only ever seen three presidents impeached before. How abnormal is this?
It's quite abnormal, just as President Trump's conduct throughout his presidency has been abnormal. Let's hope our country never accepts this as normal. That's going to be a big challenge once Trump is gone, is to go back to a more normal sense of the norms and the parameters that surround the presidency. This is a president who declared there are no norms or there are no limits, that he can do anything he wants. By the argument he's making, he and his people are making here, no president could ever be impeached. Just by definition, the president has absolute power. So that's obviously fundamentally at odds with our Constitution, and one hopes that that will never be widely accepted. So I think the offense here is, in terms of the exact article of impeachment we're talking about, I think this is the most serious in American history. You could argue that Andrew Johnson's overall presidency was, of course, it was a disastrous presidency, disastrous especially for the process of Reconstruction and in post-Civil War America. But the charges against Johnson were actually pretty narrow. We know about Watergate. We know about the very highly politicized Clinton impeachment. I think this is the most serious set of charges of all.
You mentioned the Clinton impeachment, and I think it is fair to say that similar to those, the process has been very divisive between the two parties, with Republican lawmakers during these proceedings saying that there are no grounds for impeachment in the first place. I'm curious, does it concern you how much partisanship has played a role in the proceedings that we've seen so far against President Trump?
The extent to which partisanship seems to override all else with our Republican colleagues is extremely worrying, yes. When I say what I'm about to say, I realize that it may sound like this would only come from a Democrat, but I really don't mean it that way. I mean, I do think the Clinton impeachment was a partisan exercise, and if there was any kind of remedy at all from the standpoint of congressional action, it certainly wasn't impeachment. This, on the other hand, is a very serious impeachable offense. This is a very serious and threatening example of presidential misconduct that actually is a danger to the country's national security interests and also to the integrity of our elections. And so one would hope that Republicans and Democrats would take a look at that evidence and make an objective judgment as to what these offenses warrant in terms of congressional action. If not impeachment, then what? I'm not hearing my Republican colleagues actually engage in much argument on the merits of the case. I think they know that the evidence is just overwhelming. They seem to be saying, well, whatever it is, it's not impeachable. Some of them say that. Well, if this isn't impeachable, what is? I'd like to know what the definition they're working with looks like. Or they just impugn the motives. They say, oh, well, they've been going after this president for forever. Well, we've had very serious differences with that president. That's true. But none of us came to Washington to impeach him or to impeach any other president. The impeachment question arises only with his very serious misconduct.
Now, no matter the outcome of the eventual House vote and potentially the Senate proceedings, if the articles do pass in the House, obviously we've reached the point where foreign interference with elections or even just meddling in some ways is a big concern. What do you believe is the next step for this country in terms of addressing that?
A lot more vigilance than this administration seems inclined to exercise. Donald Trump, from the very beginning of these charges being made about Russian interference, has seemed to be personally threatened by that, and he stood in the way of the Mueller report in many instances, stood in the way, lied about it. I mean, the Mueller report, those instances just jump out at you from the Mueller report. He's never really acknowledged that that Russia interfered in the elections, as all of our intelligence services have said they did. Unanimously, they've said that. And indeed, he's peddled this alternative narrative, which comes out of the Russian propaganda machine, that somehow Ukraine interfered in the election, trying to help Hillary Clinton, which is a patent lie, and it also does great danger to Ukraine and to our a country we should be supporting and helping in the face of Russian aggression. So I think we need somehow to overcome that. Trump's own administration needs to overcome it in terms of the due diligence we should always be exercising about the integrity of our election process. And certainly we in the Congress need to need to appropriate funds and exercise oversight and make sure that our election machinery is modern and functional, and that there are backup systems in case we need to count the votes. I don't think any jurisdiction in this country ought to be operating right now without backup paper ballots, you know, like we have in North Carolina. I sure wouldn't want to be on an election board anywhere that didn't have that protection, yet some of them don't. So we need to replace some of this equipment that's open to sabotage and hacking, and we need to exercise much more vigilance. So with congressional initiative, we have done some things about this. I mean, we've taken some initiative here and have dragged Mitch McConnell along finally with some funding to help support election security. But in my view, it's not nearly enough. And it doesn't help, of course, that the president every day is seeing this, saying that this whole idea of foreign interference is a hoax.
Aside from the impeachment proceedings, is there anything that you would like to let your constituents know that you are working on up in D.C.?
Well, I appreciate your asking that question, because there is a lot going on, and I'm afraid oxygen in the room is in short supply with impeachment taking so much of the attention. But this very day, we're passing a major bill that's been months in the making to do something about prescription drug prices, including empowering the major governmental programs to bargain for to negotiate for drug prices, and to give some relief to the American public, where our drug prices are so much higher than they are anywhere else in the world, and have and there's been so many cases that we're aware of where people are just having to choose between their medicine and their other basic needs, and so we're addressing that. We passed last week a major renovation of the Voting Rights Act, something designed to explicitly to deal with the kind of voter suppression we've seen in North Carolina. We passed a resolution affirming two-state diplomacy in the Middle East, which the Trump administration has strayed very far from. We it appears do have a bipartisan agreement on the revised NAFTA, a revised U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal that we will vote on next week. So and lest I can't overlook the appropriations bills. That's where I've put most of my effort, and we're still hopeful that we will have all or most of our appropriations bills for the current fiscal year, that we can finalize those this week. So yes, there's a lot else going on, and not always easy to draw attention to it. But it's our job to not just pursue impeachment. I do think that's our solemn duty, and I think we must do it, and we are doing that duty. But we also have a duty to fund our government at adequate levels and do so much more else that the people sent us here to achieve. So I do believe we're making good progress on some of those other things.
Well, Representative Price, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thank you.